Good morning, everyone. I'm sure there will be some stragglers just because people weren't expecting to have to scrape off their car this morning. But we're glad that you're here. We do have, for our first song, if the kids want to do some percussion, we have a few instruments up here, not a lot, but a few. And we're going to invite you to join in and help us with this song, if you like. They're in the bucket up here. So this is a Jewish song, so it starts, or Jewish music. So it starts off with the offbeat, okay? So you have to help me out with this. Better stand up too.
Awake, O Israel, put off thy slumber, as you shall set you free, for out of Zion comes thy deliverer in the hero to the knee.
welcome this morning. You get special extra points for being here on kind of a nasty morning. I don't know if this is kind of the first nasty morning on a Sunday, I think, this year. So extra points to you. And as always, you can cash them in with Vince. He will be happy to cash in all of your points. If you are here for the first time or are new here, welcome. I hope that you feel at home with us. And I would encourage you to stick around for some coffee and tea and goodies that will be happening after the service down at that end of the building. But if you are newer here, today is one of our next programs. It's kind of what happens next. And that will be happening in Campbell Hall down at that end of the building towards the back end on the right-hand side of that. And there will be the coffee and tea and goodies and just kind of a description of what's going on at St. Paul's. You'll meet a few people and perhaps see how you fit in a little bit more than you are now. If you would want to fill... Sorry?
I just want to say, if anybody is missing a watch, this was found near the back entrance here.
Rarely do things happen that quickly. If you are newer, please fill in a connect card so that we can connect with you. That would be fabulous. A number of announcements that we have going on next Sunday and the Sunday after. So the 22nd and the 29th will be a single service, and it will be at 10:30. So you get to sleep in a little bit more. So 10:30 next Sunday and the Sunday afterwards. There is a carol sing that will be happening this afternoon at 3:30. Because the Christmas carol service was early this year, Ross Dixon wanted to have something that was a little closer to Christmas. So this afternoon at 3:30, if you would like to come out to that. Our Blue Christmas service is this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It is a service that is geared towards those who find Christmas to be a little tough. And it can be for a variety of reasons. It usually has something to do with loss, whether it's the loss of a person that we love, the loss even of a job, loss of a variety of things. If Christmas is tough for you or someone you know, I would encourage you to come out on Wednesday evening at 7. If you are planning on coming Wednesday evening, I need 4 readers, people who will read short passages of Scripture and do a short liturgy, so you could speak to me after the service. I would be happy to give you the information on that. Offering envelopes are available for 2020. This is the last Sunday they're going to be out, so please pick them up if you haven't already. And if you're interested in one of the other ways of giving, either through pre-authorized remittance or online giving or whatever, you can find the information there or speak to one of the finance team. Tammy.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Tammy. Most of you know that by now. I would just like to say a huge thank you. We have had a Say Yes campaign going on, and we have had over 20 people respond who want to be a part of doing something more here at St. Paul's. Thank you so much. The board is still up for today, and then it will be taken down. If there's still something you want to do, please remember to sign up or to call me in the office. Thank you so much.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season, the season of looking back and looking ahead, the season of celebrating Jesus' birth and preparing for his coming again. We thank you for the gift of worship and the gift of sisters and brothers in Jesus being together, worshiping together. Bless us with your mercy, forgive our sins, heal our brokenness, make us new. And bless us with the knowledge of your presence with us this morning, that we might truly turn ourselves over to you in worship and give you glory. Bless us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to ask any kids who haven't come up yet to come on up. We're going to talk about joy today. Move over, make some room. Awesome. For the parents, next week, we will not have Sunday school, but we will have something special for the kids within the service. Okay, you guys are here. move over so we have some more spots. Awesome, thank you. Okay, I have a question for you, and I think maybe you guys can figure this one out if you don't know it off the top of your head. How many more days till Christmas? How many more days? 10. 10 more days till Christmas. Are we looking forward to it? 10 more days until we get to celebrate the birth of a beautiful little baby boy. What was the name of that baby boy? Jesus. Have any of you welcomed a new baby into your home? Did any of you have some younger siblings that you were able to be a part of? Oh, wow, mom's getting pregnant. A new baby's coming. Look at all the neat presents they're buying for the baby. And oh, they're getting the baby a new bed. And they're just getting all of these things ready, expecting this new little baby. I've done that 5 times, and it's so much fun. Obviously. It was the same thing for Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, in their own way, were also excited to welcome a new baby. They were preparing things for him. Mary may have packed a soft blanket for him when they went off to Bethlehem. Mary knew in her heart, she prepared her heart to know that this new baby would be the Messiah. He came to this earth as a little baby, and he rose, he died for our sins, and now we are waiting in expectation of when he will come. This is cause for great joy. The joy in our hearts isn't something that we can go, I'm going to be joyful, is it? It's hard to just say, I'm going to be joyful today. But what it comes from is when we have a friendship with Jesus. When we have a friendship with Jesus and we get to know him and we invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts, the fruit of that is joy. And so we are going to light the candle for joy today. And it is pink, one of my favorite colors. Is there anyone who would like to light this candle with me? Marcus, you haven't done this yet. Thank you. He knows the drill. For all of the joy we will experience this Christmas, for the joy experienced when Jesus came as a baby, and for the joy that we will experience on resurrection morning when he comes again, we light the candle of joy. Okay. Let's bow our heads and fold our hands and we'll say a prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this room. They're filled with children and with their parents and grandparents and people who love us. Thank you so much, Lord, that you came as a baby. We're so excited that you did that for us. Christmas is coming. We're excited about that. But, Lord, you coming again to take us back to heaven, we are so excited about that. Thank you so much, Lord, for that you are a God who loves us and fills our heart with joy the more we get to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know if the angels sang in Latin, but that's what we're going to do this morning. Gloria in excelsis Deo, which means glory to God in the highest. Let's stand up together as we sing glory to God.
Jesus, the name.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're going to continue our worship by having the ushers come forward to receive the offering.
From the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10. Let's hear God's word. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Are any of you expecting visitors this Christmas, people coming to stay? A few? We have all our kids coming for Christmas, not on Christmas Day, but very soon thereafter. All will be with us for the first time since 2016, and we're really thrilled about that. In fact, the family has grown by three since the last time we were all together, so this is pretty exciting for us. It is a joy when family can be together. Of course, the other side of that is that when we can't be together, there's a level of pain that exists in that, and there's sorrow that goes along with that, particularly when that separation is because of death. We won't be together this Christmas or next Christmas or any other Christmas this side of eternity. That's in part why we do a Blue Christmas service, because it is hard when we can't be together. But for a moment this morning, I want us to think about times when we have been reunited after being separated. This could be at Christmas time or any other time of the year. It could be about parents or grandparents or children, a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, siblings, just a really good friend. And for our purposes this morning, I want you to picture yourself at the arrival area of Yao. Now, I know I'm probably the only person on the planet that calls the Ottawa airport Yao, but having lived in Vancouver, where the airport there is literally called YVR, it's the designation, YVR. So here is Y-O-W, Yao. So picture yourself in the arrival area of the Ottawa airport. You're there a bit early, because even though you know it will take time for your loved one or ones to make their way off of the plane and through the terminal to come up to the top of those escalators, you don't want to miss that moment. You know, the moment when you see them at the top of the escalator. You don't want to miss it, so you're there early. And in fact, you've checked out which baggage carousel is the one that their plane will be using because you want to be just a little bit of a blessing to them. I'm seeing some laughter. This is true, right? This is what we do. And you wait in anticipation. You're watching the top of the escalator. I want you to think about how you feel as you are waiting. There is anticipation, there is excitement, there is perhaps even a bit of nervousness, there is joy over all of that. And our emotions will frequently express themselves in physical ways, won't they? maybe a little bit of a nervous tummy. You're not relaxed. There's a tension throughout your body because of the excitement. And perhaps there's a tear of joy in your eye. And you wait, and you wait. And after a time, as people are coming down the escalator, you begin to wonder, did they have to be the last off of the plane? Or was the line up to the washroom really that long? Or are they just being dramatic? And after a little while, you begin to wonder, did they really get on the plane? And you wait. And then all of a sudden, there they are. Your person or your people at the top of the escalator, and you watch and you look, and their eyes flit from face to face of all the people gathered down around you until those eyes land on you, and you see the big smile that breaks out as you make eye contact together. You move closer to the bottom of the escalator as they make their way down, and you greet and you embrace, and you hold each other because of the joy of being together. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. Imagine for just a second that it's Jesus up at the top of those escalators. And his eyes moving through the crowd until they focus on you, and the smile on his face when he sees you. Like many of the passages that we look at in Advent, Isaiah 35 points in a number of different directions. It is a passage about the great day of the Lord, when Jesus shall return. But it also points back to the Exodus. It points to the return of the exiles from Babylon. It points to Jesus' life and ministry. The reflections of the Exodus and the return from exile are pretty obvious. But the passage is clear that whatever happened in those two significant events, what is yet to come far outshines them. The Exodus was about people leaving slavery in Egypt and making their way to the promised land. The land promised to their ancestor Abraham centuries earlier. The people had to travel through the desert to get to the promised land, to get to their new home. The return of the exiles was also a journey, and a journey that had to go through the desert. But this time, people were returning back to the promised land, the land that their grandparents had lived in. It's a coming back home. This passage tells us that there is a journey to come, and a journey through a desert, but this journey is very different from the other journeys of God's people. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The desert is transformed. Now, we know that there's all kinds of life in a desert, right? We know that. But the desert is the proverbial lifeless place. So the desert, a place of danger to life, becomes a place teeming with life. The desert itself rejoices and is glad because of the life that comes into it. And this change happens suddenly. It's like the crocus that pushes its way up through the earth and blooms to proclaim the coming of spring. So the desert bursts into bloom. A comparison is made to the lush forests and fertile land of ancient Lebanon and Carmel and Sharon. And this newborn land will proclaim the glory and splendor of God. This newborn land will be a joy to God's people. And in the midst of this proclamation of what is to come, we find words of encouragement to those who are waiting. waiting for God to come, and perhaps even wondering if God will come. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. The people to whom these words came first were having a hard time holding on to their trust in God, holding on to trust that he would be with them. Their leaders cared more for their power than for the people. The surrounding nations were a constant threat to the people. And the northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen to the Assyrians. Thomas Hobbes' words may well have described the life for these people, that life was nasty, brutish, and short. But through Isaiah, God called his people to trust him and to trust the promise of what would happen. His promise that God himself would come to his people. To a people who had lost hope, or perhaps only had the dregs of hope left, God would come to them and he would save them. The rest of the passage speaks of Jesus' life and ministry, as it did, as we heard in Psalm 146 as well. And it speaks of the day of the Lord, when Jesus will return and make everything right. But the truth of this passage is for us today, this Advent season. As we look back to Jesus' birth, as we look ahead to Jesus' return, our world is a very different place than the world of God's people in the time of Isaiah, most certainly. But having said that, we experience many of the same things that they experienced in different ways and for different reasons. We live in uncertain times. Heard just this past week on the radio, it happened the first time in my hearing, an economist saying that a recession may be on its way. For the life of me, I cannot figure out why they do that. Because as soon as they say it may be on its way, you know what happens? We get nervous and we stop spending and we are careful. And you know what happens then? A recession comes. Self-fulfilling prophets. We wonder in uncertain times, we wonder what kind of world we're going to leave to our kids. Climate change, an environment full of plastic. Plastic being found in strange places in the Arctic. Just bizarre. A year ago, Oxfam released a report that stated that the richest 26 individuals, so this is not 26%, not 26 countries, the richest 26 individuals in the world hold the same amount of wealth as the 3.8 billion poorest people in the world. 26 people have the same amount of money as half of the population of the world. We live in bizarre, uncertain times. But it's not just global uncertainty, right? There's uncertainty in our own lives. It becomes personal because we experience things like damaged and broken relationships. Bad health diagnosis for ourselves or for people that we love. Mental illness for ourselves or for people that we love. Income not keeping up with expenses. Conflict at work or at home or in the neighborhood. If we ourselves are not at the breaking point, we know people who are pretty close. And into that context of uncertain times and uncertain lives comes God's word to us. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. The call on us in the midst of uncertain times and uncertain lives is to strengthen our hands. Don't just stand there with your hands in your pocket. Keep doing God's work. Love God, love people. Serve God, serve people. Steady the knees that give way. Continue to stand in Christ. Continue to trust Jesus. Continue to follow the Lord. Be strong. Do not fear. None of this is about digging into ourselves, finding untapped strength and bringing it to the fore. All of this is about being able to do these things, to strengthen our hands, to steady our knees, to be strong and not to fear, all of them because of the promise. Your God will come. Your God will come. Your God will come. This is not a present day equivalent of talking about your God and my God as if God is something that we create, that we make God in our own image, if there could somehow be truth in that. No, when we read your God will come, it is about relationship. It is about you, us, me being in relationship with God. The God who comes is the God who is known to us in Jesus. And in Jesus, we are in relationship with God. Your God will come to you. Not some distant, unknowable God, but the God we know in Jesus. The God who is our Heavenly Father will come. Your God will come. The passage is a promise to God's people that he would come to them in their time of need. And we see this directly fulfilled in Jesus' birth as God came to this world in Jesus. The living, holy, almighty God become human in this baby laid in a manger because the world didn't make room for him. We see this passage fulfilled in Jesus' birth. We see this passage also fulfilled on the day of the Lord, when Jesus returns. Our God will come to us, and Jesus will draw his people to himself that we should be with him to all eternity. And life will be as God intended it to be, where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, but there will be pure wholeness and pure health and pure fullness in God's presence. But I believe the promise for God to be with us is for us this day and this moment. God is with us always by his Holy Spirit. We're not always aware of his presence, not always aware of his nearness, but he is always there. God's promise to come to us is also fulfilled through the Holy Spirit in Jesus. The Lord Jesus is with you by his Spirit in the midst of uncertain times, in the midst of our uncertain lives with concerns around health and finances and relationships and conflict. And just the stress that comes from living in a world that demands immediate gratification, and in a world where we know every bad thing that happens almost instantaneously as it's happening. The world has never known something like that before. We are the first generations to ever know the bad things that happen as they're happening. And there's huge stresses in that. But God is with us. God is with us. Your God will come to save you. Your God will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. I confess the vengeance and the divine retribution don't tickle my fancy a whole lot when I read that. But I look and I study and I see things, a couple of things that I see in this. The vengeance and retribution that God brings is to beat back the evil of the world for the purpose of saving his people. This is about God's judgment on evil. But another point that is perhaps even more important for us, when God came to the world in Jesus 2,000 years ago, he also brought his vengeance and divine retribution, but he took those and turned them on himself on the cross to deal with the sin of the world, my sin, your sin, that he should forgive us fully and completely. He loves you that much. He desires to save you that much. Your God will come to save you. As we think with anticipation about visitors at Christmas or us going to see other people, being together with someone, with people that we love, may we grasp the truth that God comes to us in Jesus by his Holy Spirit in the midst of all of the uncertainty around us. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for your promises, promises that are sure and certain. We thank you for your promise to rescue your people as you did in the Exodus, as you did in bringing the exiles home from Babylon. We thank you for your promise to come to us and to be with us, and that you fulfilled that promise in Jesus, that you save us in him through his cross and through his resurrection. But we thank you that for your promise to be with us always by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for those of us who will have the opportunity of being together with loved ones this Christmas. But we acknowledge that not all of us will be able to be together. So we pray for your powerful presence. We pray for your presence for those who have lost a loved one, for those who have experienced a break in relationship and so are separated because of that. We pray for those who will be alone. We pray for your presence and the presence of your people. Encourage us, Lord, with the knowledge of your coming to us and your presence with us. Father, we pray for this world. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, to a world that needs you, to a world that is so uncertain, to a world that doesn't get it. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for this city. And we pray the same prayer, come, Lord Jesus, for Ottawa's sake. For the people of this city to know you. And Lord, we pray for us. We pray that you would make your presence known to us this day, this season, that we would live for you in all ways. Lord, we pray your blessing upon Rosemary in the death of her dad. We pray for Lois and Ella and Deborah and Sam. We pray that you would uphold them all in their loss and grant them your peace and your hope. Bless all who are in need this day, Lord. We pray for your glory's sake in Jesus. Amen.
Please join us after the service for refreshments down in Campbell Hall. Why don't we stand as we sing our closing song together?
I could preach some more if you wanted. I had a guy that filled in for me one Sunday in Kinburn. He did that. Came to the end of the service. Oh, we've got 5 minutes. I'll preach some more. I didn't invite him back after. It was kind of a turn off. Brothers and sisters, God is with us, whether we know it or not. And in our deepest need, your God will come to you. It may not be in ways that you expect, or maybe even in ways that you hope, but your God will come. May the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you and fill you now and always. Amen.